the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day to you today. We're in the clubhouse. It is May 12th already, 2012. Goodness gracious, where does the time go? It's the Golf Club, and we've got in the clubhouse Eddie Lee, the Director of Instruction from David Ledbetter, Maui, Jeff Silverman, author of Classic Golf Stories and many other books, and Jason Digert, the Director of Instruction at Golf Tech. But first, we'll be talking with Ron Cyrak, the Executive Editor of Golf World. First, our sponsors, who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. Bordered by Emerald Green Mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And also by Avance Salon, for cut, for color, for extensions, a manicure, a pedicure, Cal Gel. Whether you've got the conservative look or the more flamboyant, Avance, ask for Deborah or for Bev. And now I'd like to congratulate the winners from last week. Amy Asaki from Kapa'a, the winner of our first Mother's Day $50 gift certificate from Poipu Bay Golf Course. Give the gift of golf. Indeed, we've got another one for a lucky winner today. Also for Mother's Day, Avance has a pedicure. Spoil Mom. You know, she won't spoil herself. So win this pedicure from Avance, re-gift it, or heck, use it for yourself. Healthy feet, it's very important. And congratulations to Wes Kira, last week's winner of the Rocket Balls. We'll have a lucky winner coming up later this morning, more Rocket Balls to give away to you. It's going to be a partly sunny day today. That means we'll have some clouds, some isolated showers. There are no winds. Okay, so they're variable to 15 miles an hour, but it feels like no winds. The high between 81 and 86 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day to get out and play a round of golf, which you can at Volcano, where it's 52, a lovely 52 degrees, 10:48, 11:30, or 12:12, a tee time for you. Now, let's go to the players at TPC Sawgrass. Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor of Golf World. Welcome to the clubhouse. Good morning.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to have you on the show. I understand it's gotten a little bit windy.
Yeah, it's gusting probably about 20 miles an hour right now, and it might get up to about 25. And also the greens are crusty, a little burnout, and they've stuck all the 16 of the 18 pins are 5 paces or less from an edge. So it's not going to be a lot of really low numbers today.
Not going to be low. Okay, so let's set the stage for everybody after yesterday. Matt Kuchar tied with Zach Johnson, Kevin Na. They've got the lead going into today's third round. They haven't teed off yet, but Tiger Woods managed to make the cut. Everybody was wondering, I certainly was, especially after the bogey on 5, and then all of a sudden he opened up with number 8, a beautiful, beautiful hole, and finished with 16, managed a, what was it, a 68, and made the cut?
Yeah, 68. Yeah, number 8's a really, really hard, long, 230-yard par 3, and he hit it in close, made birdie there. And then he did what you need to do. He took advantage of the next 3 holes, which are birdie holes, a par 5, a short par 4, and a par 5. Birdied 4 in a row and got back in the mix with a 68. But right now he's spinning his wheels. He started out with 6 straight pars. He just missed a 6-wood birdie try on number 6. But he's still 2 under par. He's only 6 shots back. We do have a couple of people making a move today. Ricky Fowler has made a couple of birdies and has gotten to 5 under, 3 off the lead. Johnny Vegas has started out. He went birdie, eagle, par, bogey, birdie, and he's at 5 under now. So I think the leaderboard's going to jam up a little bit today.
Okay. You know, the big names, Ricky Fowler now a big name, of course. He's got a huge gallery. It was interesting how he talked about playing with Tiger Woods, that he enjoys the limelight. He enjoys having people cheering him on.
Yeah, you know, he's absolutely comfortable in the moment out there. And boy, the number of kids that you see now, both boys and girls, who are wearing the Ricky Fowler hats, the brightly colored flat-brim hats out there, it's amazing. I mean, he's attracting really a young kid to the game, and that can only be good. But Ricky does everything right. He knows how to interact with the fans. He knows how to interact with the media, with the sponsors. And now that he's finally got a win, he could turn out to be just a hugely important marketing tool for PGA Tour.
Ron Cyrak is great on Twitter. If you don't follow him, you really should. At Ron Cyrak. And he gives you insights. It's interesting because I think, Ron, didn't you say once that when you do a tweet, it's almost like you're talking to yourself and you're surprised by the reaction you get from other people?
Yeah, I am. It's absolutely astounding. And, there's no better example of that than Tiger Woods. I can make the absolute most factual comments about Tiger Woods, like, he's missed half his fairways and half his greens today. And I'll get attacked by both, the Tiger fans will say, why are you picking on Tiger? And the Tiger detractors will say, why are you talking about Tiger? Nobody cares about him anymore, which shows you what an important guy he is to the game.
And still, and the tweet that you sent out that I thought was amazing the other day was a photo captioned the new reality of the PGA Tour. It was about 7 years old, wearing a Ricky Fowler hat.
Yeah, there was a boy and a girl together, both about seven, and they both had Fowler hats on. And that, that's what I'm saying. I remember when Tiger Woods was the young guy out here, and he was the one who was attracting all the young fans out here. But boy, that was 15 years ago now. And Ricky's the guy, and Rory's the guy too. Ricky and Rory. I mean, you get two 23-year-olds who offer the promise of a really significant, compelling rivalry for years to come.
Now, speaking of Rory, who's the next person I wanted to bring up, he missed the cut. Is this his third time at TPC Sawgrass that he missed the cut?
Yeah, he hasn't played the weekend yet here. This is a golf course, and Tiger Woods doesn't have much success here either. It's a very punishing golf course if you're missing fairway. And you really need to be in play. There's water here. You get penalty strokes that way. The greens are really hard to hit into if you're trying to play from out of the rough. And some courses just don't fit certain players. And Ricky thought, or Rory thought he had it figured out coming in this year, but clearly he didn't. I'm totally confident that he is going to figure it out someday and figure out how to play this golf course.
And some of the tweets that you've sent mention how far Rory McIlroy hits the drive, like 340 yards.
He absolutely kills a lot. I mean, I always thought that the greatest driver of the golf ball I ever saw was Greg Norman for combining distance with accuracy. But I think Ricky's right up there. The driving performance he put on last year in winning the U.S. Open in Congressional was off the charts. But, he's not that big of a guy, but he generates an enormous amount of club hits.
And now he's in Rome having a lovely weekend with his favorite girl. that's quite nice.
Yeah. Yeah, his life's pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. Tiger Woods was asked about this golf course, and he said it's very visual, but you can't ever stop thinking about, you can't fake it. You have to be concentrating the entire time. Why is that?
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. This is not the kind of golf course where you can get by on your recovery game. And quite frankly, Augusta National is, and that's one of the reasons Tiger's been so successful there. You can miss fairways there and recover. But here, if you start missing fairways and then start missing greens, there's not only water, but there's all these really treacherous little runoff areas where your ball will shoot 20, 30 yards away from the green if you miss a green by just a yard. And then the chips are really hard to make up and down. They have sub-air drying systems under these greens, and they can keep them running at exactly the speed they want them to run at.
Okay, pace of play. And part of it must be... One of the tweets from Ron Cyrak, and you can follow him at Ron Cyrak, if you think the pace of play was bad first 2 days and it unfolded with the speed of a geological era, wait until you see it in this win today.
I walked on Thursday with a group of Woods, Mahan, and Fowler, and it was 5 hours and 17 minutes. Play a three ball, and that just seems to me absurd, and I think it's getting worse. I think that there's a lot of players are being taught these really really elaborate pre-shot routines, and you know, as you know, the two teachers that I work with, Tia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott, part of what they teach is to play quickly. And I remember covering the 2006 Women's Open, went to an 18-hole playoff on Monday. Annika Sorenstam and Pat Hurst, they played 3 hours and 20 minutes. You know, I mean, that just make your decision about the ball, step up and hit it. But there are some brutal pre-shot routines out here now. Webb Simpson, Ben Crane, Keegan Bradley, and fortunately, we got a couple of those guys high up on the leaderboard.
I know. I was thinking about Keegan Bradley, but can we talk about Kevin Na for a minute?
Sure.
I really felt for him when he was talking about not being able to pull the trigger. And you know, in screaming, his mind is screaming, just pull the trigger already. You know, that must be incredibly frustrating. I have no idea how you get through that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember hearing stories that where Ben Hogan would get like that over putts. And there were sometimes guys he was playing with literally thought he was never going to strike the ball. You know, he'd get over it and just freeze. This game is so much played in that 5 inches between your ears, you know, and there are times when you get over a shot and you feel like you've got this shot, and you absolutely know in your heart of hearts that you're gonna pure it and hit it. And there are other times you're over the ball and there's no worse feeling than thinking you've got no chance in the world to put this ball in the fairway.
All right. Well, Kevin was interesting because Kevin Na on Twitter talked about how he's under a lot of pressure to fix his slow play issues. By the same token, he was talking on Golf Channel about how the guys are very understanding. They know he's trying to fix it. And so I guess he's trying, and that's great. They seem to be aware of the problem, but it doesn't seem to go away. It's been how many years have we talked about pace of play since?
You know, one of the discussions that we had this week with the commissioner when he was in the interview room on Wednesday is imposing penalty strokes for slow play, which the PGA Tour pretty much doesn't do. They'll fine people for slow play. They don't like to impose penalty strokes, but I think that's the only thing that's going to do it. On the LPGA, when they've made progress with pace of play, it has been when they started to penalize players for being out of position.
All right. Another tweet, and I go back to the tweets all the time because it gives you the best insight, and you really need to follow your favorite players and your favorite journalists like Ron Cyrak. Is there anyone on the leaderboard you'd like to see go away? Let me know. Apparently, if I show up, people forget how to play golf. And there was a comment that came back that said, so that's what's wrong with Michelle Wee.
That was Gary Van Sickle of Sports Illustrated. It was actually a pretty funny thing. He's blaming me. But it was true. I went out Thursday with the group, Thursday morning with the group of Woods, Fowler, and Mahan, and they all pretty much were dreadful. And then I went out Friday morning with the group of McIlroy, Mickelson, and Steve Stricker, and two of those three missed the cut. It was like, all right, what's going on?
So who are you following today?
Maybe I have to go after a couple of those slow play guys and get them off the leaderboard.
We've got Johnson and Na, Zach Johnson, Kevin Na, they go off at 2:35 Eastern time, Donald and Westwood at 12:56. I like, what did you have to say about Ricky Fowler and Ian Poulter, two very colorful characters, right?
I said they're out. They look like a USA Today weather map, you know, with all just random splash of color from out there.
Yeah, very, very, very colorful individuals. It's been a very long week at the Players. A lot of things going on. The PGA Tour Wives Association does a lot of work before the tournament, giving back to charities like they do here in Hawaii for Blessings in a Backpack. And, of course, there was the World Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Do you have time to we take a break and come back and talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely.
Great. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor, Golf World. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ron Cyrak, and read his columns. Prolific. I mean, it's amazing how much work that you put out on a weekly basis, especially on something like this, the flagship of the PGA Tour, the Players at TPC Sawgrass, where the greens, there doesn't seem to be a flat surface. They're just undulating the entire, and I was surprised to see Steve Stricker miss the cut. He's Mr. Putter.
Yeah, and he had
or Mr. Stricker. He just lost it completely. We've got Ron Cyrak with us. Ron, what's been your favorite part of this week so far?
Well, you know, I've been to all of the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies since they opened the World Golf Hall of Fame down here, and the collection of speeches this year was the best I've ever seen. The show was stolen by two 82-year-old guys, Peter Allis and Dan Jenkins. Phil Mickelson was awesome. Hollis Stacey was really good, and Sandy Lyle was terrific.
It was really a
good group of speeches.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Sandy Lyle. He's so down to earth. It was wonderful. Phil Mickelson is a master. Somebody asked him if he's going to be a politician. He said no, but he really would be quite good, don't you think? But Dan Jenkins, of course, is a close friend of yours. Peter Allis is one of my favorite people. I love the comedy that he does. He has comedy routines. The Evenings with Allis in England, if he would just tape those, it would be marvelous. He has a lot of CDs you can buy, too, if you'd like to get some insight. Mr. Allis talked about his school. He left school at 16. He was a you want to tell us about that?
Well, he told a story that essentially his teacher, and I forget what her name was, Mrs. Warford or something like that, told his parents that he was never going to amount to anything. So he ended his speech by looking at the heavens and thanking his parents for all they did to him. And then he looked to the heavens and said, Mrs. Warford, and gave her a single-finger salute. Sort of brought the house down.
Yes, and to their credit, Golf Channel just fuzzied it out. It didn't actually, they left it in. I understand there was a lot of conversation about that. And now to your friend, Dan Jenkins. He was really quite amazing. Just talking about, for instance, his tombstone, he said, I'm so glad that I've been inducted prior to my death. and on his tombstone, he's got something prepared like, what was it? I knew this would happen.
I knew this was going to happen. Yeah.
How long have you known him?
I've known Dan about 25 years, and really the last 14 years since I've been with Golf World. It's a major championship. We have dinner together, four or five times a week during the course of a major, and it's just amazing. It's you're sitting with history. The guy's covered essentially every major championship since 1950, you know. And I remember when I was with him when he covered his 52nd Masters, and he said, "Well, that's it. I've now spent 1 year of my life at Augusta, Georgia." So I hadn't even thought about that. And he's, "Wow, that's right."
Yeah.
And Dan is really, Dan reinvented sports writing. He brought humor to it. He made stories that read like short stories. You know, they made it, it's an entertaining read where you're not only getting information and learning about what happened at the tournament, you're being entertained along the way. And it's a hard skill. Writing funny, I think, is really, really a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it seems to come naturally for him because he also talked about how vitally important it is to stick with the facts. You know, don't make it funny just to make it funny. He said,
"I've never sacrificed the truth for a laugh."
There you go.
That's a great line.
Yes.
But there's always just enough truth. I remember him having, and if you want to follow somebody on Twitter, he's a guy to follow, too, because he's a one-line machine. It was a while back at a British Open, Ian Baker Finch shot 92. And, you know, that's a sad, sad thing for a pro to shoot a 92. And Dan handled it by saying, "Baker Finch went out in 44 and back in 48. It sounds a little like someone's World War II service record."
That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure, Danielle. Anytime.
Okay, aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, "What do you recommend?"
"Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door."
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Waipu Bay and Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
"Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?"
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And just to give you some idea, during the last commercial break when Ron Cyrak, he was putting out a tweet, Fowler birdies number 5 to get to 6 under, 2 off the lead. So he's doing all this simultaneous work. It's really quite amazing, and you really find out a lot. Of course, we might not want to know all of that, because if we want to watch the golf on television, you get too much information. By the same token, you know, you want to know what's going on right away. Let's find out what's going on in the world of how to make your game better. We have Eddie Lee, David Ledbetter, Maui Academy, right with us now. Good morning, Eddie. It's been too long since we've talked. How are you?
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. It's a great week. The players, always interesting to watch. If you had any chance, I mean, you work for a living, much like the rest of us. We really haven't been able to watch that much television, but have you seen any of the golf?
I saw a little bit yesterday. I didn't get to see Tiger finish. I know that's kind of the buzzword with Tiger, how he's playing and how he's doing, but I got to see a little bit how he was finishing the last couple holes, and he played really well. He made the cut by 2 or 3, correct?
Yeah, he's sort of mired in I don't know. Yeah, just sort of averaged them right now. The the extraordinary has become ordinary, and that really must be frustrating. I mean, I can't imagine what it must feel like knowing that you had it in the hand, you know, and you could dominate, you could do what you wanted to with that little white ball with just about any stick, and all of a sudden it poof, like water through your hands, and you can't hold it anymore. Eddie Lee, what's the solution?
Well, you know, I think when it comes to these world-class players, female, male, it's just, there's so many dynamics that we don't really get to see that happens behind the curtain. And, either it's injury or swing change or it could be, both of them. So, when somebody like Tiger, there's so many things I believe that a lot of people just don't know. We read, we do a little research on the internet, but I think there's a lot of dynamics that are happening that's hard to add up.
So you mean what we don't see? You mean they've got a life that might be impacting their play?
Oh, sure.
And that's what we surmise to be Tiger Woods' problem. Now, what about all the people who are trying to help him fix his quote-unquote problem? Do you think they should be that close, or would it behoove him to step away from all those people giving him advice?
I think Tiger's the person that all of needs direction. Certain people need to be told what to do, and I think he's one of them.
Interesting.
So, be it right or wrong, people need that direction, and he's one of them. So, with that being said, I don't think if he goes on his own and starts to try to fix things on his own, he'll kind of go into a vicious little circle where he'll feel like he's making two up and then three back and then three up and then four back. I mean, steps.
Yes.
And that little circle, it almost feels like you're making progress, but you're actually going kind of back. So you only feel the progress, but you're actually going those steps back too. So certain people need direction. I think Tiger's one of them.
All right. A couple of things he said during his news conference yesterday after playing so well. He said that seeing and feeling on the greens is matching up. Can you enlighten us about that?
As far as he made reference to seeing and feeling on the greens?
Yeah, when he's on the greens, what he's seeing and what he's feeling is starting to match.
Right. You know, I know that, I've discussed this with a friend of mine. Danielle, Ben Hongo. We talked about golf in general. I made reference to this before being on this show. And then we talked about putting also. And we talked about how people kind of, how they see putts. Tiger is a path putter. So basically he can see the total picture from start to finish. So per se, it's a 12-foot putt. If it breaks 2 feet, he can see the actual arc, right? Right to left, you can see it up, and he breaks toward the left side, and it finishes to the hole. On the other side is a linear putter or a line putter where they see that spot, per se, and just try to get at the spot. I believe with Tiger being a path putter where he sees a complete picture from start to finish,
yeah,
starting to see the arc, therefore he's starting to see his speed, and he's rolling the ball with a lot better.
Ah, I'm a line putter. If there's a word for that, I see I go, go.
and that's okay. I think people either one way or the other, they're not both.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong, but you just got to identify what you are.
Yeah, the only time I found myself doing path putting was when I was on a green that had a lot of undulation to it, and I could feel the way the ball was going to go, and that to me was most important, was seeing and feeling. And so I kind of understood what he, but I wanted to get it from Eddie Lee, one of the top teachers, Golf Digest, Hawaii top teacher for 3 years running over at David Ledbetter Maui now. And you can take a lesson with Eddie Lee anytime you'd like on Maui. As something else that he talked, actually he didn't talk about this at all, but Frank Nobilo evaluated, and it was interesting to see the posture change. Frank said that it was a lot about Tiger's posture and the way he was holding himself at his setup to the ball in the beginning of the swing, where his shoulders were, how his arms were hanging. And it was just this adjustment in his posture from Thursday to Friday. Thursday was not a very good round. Friday was a very good round. How much do you focus on posture?
I think preparation is 9% of a good golf swing. A lot of tendencies or patterns people get into is because of preparation. Bad grips, posture, bad weight distribution, you name it. So that's good. Tiger's going back to the fundamentals. and understanding if he sets Paul. It sounds like if he sets Paul, he maintains Paul, which means he's kind of getting away from that dip move. So that's probably easier fix if he just kind of sets his shoulders back and shows a little bit more angular and better framework in the start, and he can probably maintain that at strike.
Yeah. It's also interesting how when you get older, you have to start adjusting your body to its new limitations. And I think that working within that framework must put some interesting challenges in his the way he has to approach the game. I don't think we think about that too much. A lot of people say he should just go back to the way he used to be swinging, you know, like when we had that fluid motion. But sometimes that just doesn't work. You work with a lot of students at the David Ledbetter Maui Academy. Tell me how you like to approach it.
Well, we start like any lesson. We start with the preparation, the setup. Good golf, Ben Hogan said it, good golf begins with a good grip. And there's no faster change in your preparation or your setup that will have the biggest and most influential result just by changing the grip. We take a look at that. We take a look at how one person sets up their feet in relation to their aim. And then we move around that. And, you know, we understand that everybody swings a little bit different. Everybody's a little bit wired differently. We're humans. But, you know, the thing is that there's certain patterns and parameters that good players have always done since the start of this game. And grip is one of them.
Okay. So you are, I was looking at your Ledbetter Wailea page and saw that I kind of have the same goal with this show, is you helping beginning to average golfers improve their game.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be great to go to David Ledbetter Wailea.
No, I think it's, once again, when I get on the show here, I'm not defending my boss, David, but he always has this kind of reputation of being this mechanical, systematic, over-analytical. It's very similar to Sean Sulvey, by the way, now. He's getting this label, and it's kind of unfair.
I never thought about David as having a label.
Oh, well, no. I hear it a lot, and it's you know, when somebody has a lot of knowledge of what they do and they love doing it, you know, there's certain words get thrown around, and I believe that he got labeled that way early. Understanding the swing in certain positions of the flow, and then all of a sudden people think that way. We get it. We understand that there's a lot of moving, there's motion, there's positions that people need to kind of follow a little bit. But, you know, we get that people are wired differently, and we try to work around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know that there's a swing inside everyone, and you want to bring their natural swing out.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Maybe I'm sorry you felt like that. I certainly didn't want to put you on edge that you felt like you had to defend David Ledbetter. My goodness, he's a great coach. I think people in his position, great coaches, will always be attacked because someone who is jealous, who decides that they want to bring attention to themselves by attacking another person, they bring attention to themselves. They get the focus on themselves. It's a very destructive negative way to attract attention. I don't like it, but people do it, and that comes with the territory of being famous. So, you know, you just kind of roll with it. But you know, David Ledbetter and Butch Harmon and all those guys and Sean Foley, they're doing what they're doing, and they'll have success, and I suppose with Michelle Wee, everybody here in Hawaii wants her to do so well. You know, and they don't know what happened. They don't know why she's not doing well. And so they'll blame anybody, but you can't blame. I mean, there is no blame in the game like golf. Tell us about what is real for a person playing this game. You can't expect to do well all the time.
You know, it's a hard game. The core golfers that are listening to your show, that listen to it every week, I consider that audience, your audience, Danielle, the core golfers, and it's not much of us, and because it's a tough game. But you know, when going through staying in the game and just being resilient is probably the biggest thing. Being patient with yourself, having fun, enjoying the game itself, the people you meet, and then you know, just trying to stay focused with what you're working on, your golf swing. If I was talking about the golf swing and instead of just, you know, kind of randomly staying in the game, but when somebody's making a golf swing change, it's, You got to stay kind of focused on that one or two things that you're working on, and resist the temptation of trying to grab the closest fruit that's hanging from the tree. Don't be a dabbler. You know, don't go this week here, and this week I'm going to do this, and I read this, and I'm grabbing something else. You know, then you're playing basically golf swing du jour. You want to really stay animate of your changes, stay committed. You know, making reference against the Tiger, if he says it's a 2-year process, well, and that's a long time, and he hits a lot more balls than everybody else. That poor golfers I make reference to. So, when you're making changes, be patient, have fun, understand it's a process, and don't dabble. That's probably the biggest tips I have for somebody who's gone through some swing changes.
Interesting. So be patient.
Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your instructor. Understand the process.
Yeah, and the problem is when you get in a stressful situation, the natural inclination is to go back. Well, you stop actually. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe you can explain it. When you're under pressure, why do we resort to something that's not where we're supposed to be going?
Well, because it's easy.
Ah.
And it feels comfortable. And the patterns we've developed, we'll go back to when we're making changes because we feel secure in it. And I think we need to understand that if we go back to those patterns that we're trying to get out of, that's the first step of getting better. You know, it's just once again, just, you know, said reference to this word, just stay resilient and understand that the process you're doing is correct instead of going back and doing the other thing.
Interesting. You've had a lot of celebrities come through the doors. Can you talk a little bit about their games after we take a break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We're talking with Eddie Lee, ranked by Golf Digest as Hawaii's number one teacher for 3 years. Eddie's dedicated his instruction career to utilizing the game's most advanced techniques. He's at the David Ledbetter Wailea Academy, and that's on Maui. You can, you know, go anytime you'd like. It's a beautiful facility, and it's not designed just for visitors, right, Eddie?
Yeah, we have a training facility where we have pitching green, chipping green. We do video analysis, two hitting areas, beautiful vistas. But it's a beautiful place, but we also get some work done, too.
You're not too distracted by the gorgeous. I can see the view. I'm online here, davidledbetter.com, if you'd like to find out more. 11,000 square feet to accommodate groups of every size, every skill level. You do a short game, a long game, of course, full swing. When you talk about groups, how many people like to come in?
We try to do 4-to-1 ratio. I think that's kind of generic in Hawaii, four students to one instructor. And if it gets, you know, once again, using that, serve 8 students. We try to get 2 instructors. We will get 2 instructors. So that way it keeps it kind of intimate, and nobody feels like they're getting moved around too fast. It doesn't feel like you're moving cattle. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, that way you can spend some time and get to know the people and make it productive. But 4-to-1 is our ratio.
And when do you take a person out on a playing lesson?
So we do that in the afternoon when the golf course slows down a little bit. Therefore, the environment out there is somewhat controlled. You know, I think when you get a playing lesson early in the morning, and I've seen this, I've done it, and you try to start on the backside early in the morning, and you got the mowers out there, and all of a sudden the first group has whipped around, and now they're behind you, and your students out there trying to digest what you're giving them, and all of a sudden there's people pushing them. So we try to do it in the afternoon. It's a little bit slower, it's a little bit cooler, take our time, and if we have to, we drop a couple balls, so it makes it a lot more relaxed, but also productive.
Yeah. Okay, so Arnold Schwarzenegger comes walking through the doors. What do you do with Arnold?
Well, he did. You know, I worked with Arnold. I worked with some celebrities. But with Arnold, it was kind of looking at what you see is not what you get. I mean, he's a big guy. He's in great shape, and therefore he doesn't swing the club with any swing. He's big guy, moving around like he's swinging a weight, and the ball doesn't go very far. So it was with Arnold, it was basically trying to get him to cock his wrist and create a little bit more leverage. Therefore, he can start swinging the club head instead of moving the club. It also looked like, nothing wrong with Arnold. I mean, I'm not trying, not bashing anybody on this show. And I just, it just looked like the club was swinging him instead of him swinging the club.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. I stood next to Arnold Schwarzenegger in a radio station. He was a guest on my show. He's about 5'11". He's not as tall as you'd think, but he's compact. And, of course, very muscular. And I can understand completely a man or a woman who's built like that would have a difficult time getting the smooth rhythm that's required with a golf swing. So I think that's one of the dangers of becoming too muscular. I think Tiger Woods puts too much into the physical training. David Duval went backwards when he became all physical. We don't need bulky muscles, do we, for this game?
No. No, you flip it and look at the you look at the LPGA Tour, you look at the top 50 players, look at their dimensions. None of them are really tall. There's always exception, but I say the majority is under 5'7", 5'6", slim builds, but very, as you made reference to, very kind of lean, long, compact muscles. Nothing really bulging or bulking. So on the other side with the men, I think if you take a look at Kyle Stanley, who's a fit nut.
Yes.
He played well in the beginning of the year, and you can tell this guy, he's ripped, he's shredded, but he doesn't look kind of imposing.
No, he's not bulky.
That's a great build right there.
He's got long muscles.
Right, long muscles.
Yes, yes, very important. Who else has come in for lessons in celebrity?
When we make reference to celebrities, the easiest one, Danielle, is the actors. Actors and actresses, because they're open to being directed because they're always being directed. So therefore, if you tell them to do this, that, they're kind of used to it, right? Because they do that for a living. And my favorite one specifically are the comedians. They're just you think they would be kind of close to what they are on TV, and then you get out there with 9 holes, you play 9 holes with them, and they're just hilarious. So they didn't let you down there. So my favorite, I just had a recent lesson a couple months ago with Billy Crystal, and this was right before the Oscars. He hosts the Oscars, and he's just a really sincere, honest man, and it was a great time, a great afternoon.
Excellent. That must be sweet. I mean, really, to have that kind of interaction with someone who puts it all out there on the stage, and then you get to see them as a person. Steve Martin. I had dinner with Steve Martin. He, you see this wild and crazy guy, but he's not. He's exactly sincere, wonderful. Comedians generally are. The state of the professional game on the PGA Tour and global golf in general, any thoughts on that?
I think, let me put some thought in this. I think that we're getting closer as far as all the regions and are getting closer to what America's dominance used to be. Just taking a look at the top 50 rankings. I know that we're having a lot of cross European players that are playing on the American Tour, the PGA Tour. They're doing both, which is, I believe, the minimum is 15, Daniel, 50 membership. So, the Tiger Woods intimidation factor is done. I don't know if it's going to resurface. Therefore, there's a lot of kids between the ages of 18 and 25 that really don't know. You know, they kind of saw a little bit of Tiger as they're growing up, but they're not the older guy who was really intimidated by him prior about 10, 15 years ago. You know, it's interesting. You know, once again, using Tiger Woods as a reference, I was giving a lesson to some young kids, and specifically the ages were 5 to 8. Okay, so I'm giving a lesson. We go in the video room. I do a quick film, and of the kids. So I have about 6, let's say 7-year-olds sitting down, and I'm on the video, and they're looking at the monitor, and then I download their swings, and I'm going to split screen and put a Tour Pro. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So visualize this. I put a Tiger Woods up there as our Tour Pro that we're looking at, reference, right? Our model. And I turn back to these kids, and I go, okay, who is this? And not one, and it was all blank stares. Not one kid knew Tiger Woods. And at that moment, I was like, wow. This is a little different. It's another generation. I mean, these kids now coming up, they're using other models as a reference, whereas basically for the last, say, 20 years, it's been Tiger Woods.
And now it's Ricky Fowler or Rory McIlroy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Rory, Rio.
Yeah.
Yanni.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a younger flow.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Great.
I think the state of global golf is fantastic. I think the fact that it's not just about the U.S. players, that it's about the players from around the world, is exactly what we need for this game. It rejuvenated the game. Tiger being out creating controversy actually fed a lot of people back into the sport, looking in, and in the process of looking in to see what he was doing, discovered other people, and that their interest remained. They may have gone, well, so what about him? Whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. But look at this person. And that, to me, was he did a big service. Guy's been great for the game, and all around, for the players who make more money and for the guys who sell equipment and for the broadcasters who are selling advertising. It's really, Tiger Woods has been great, and we thank him very much. Eddie Lee, before you leave us, is there something that I haven't given you a chance? I'd like you to tell people why they should come and see you at the David Ledbetter Wiley Academy.
Well, I think you'll love what we do. We keep it simple. We streamline it with video analysis. The learning curve a little easier. That way, you'll get me talking to you. You'll get a visual command on the monitor. And we'll also move into a little bit of body awareness with some training aids. We can utilize some training aids for you to, once again, to pick up the curve a little bit quicker. And that way, when you get out of the lesson, an hour or 2 hours or even a school, you'll come out of it saying, wow, that was cool. I learned a lot.
Yeah, and Renee Lee is there. If you're a lady and you'd like to have a woman teacher, Renee is excellent. There are lots of David Ledbetter products that are available so you can take home as aids, but I think the best tip that you gave anyone was when you talked about the actors and actresses who come to you, and they have a career of taking direction, and therefore they absorb the information that you give them and adopt it and use it. I think we should all go in with that attitude.
You know, I agree. We sign up for a lesson. Person is pretty open when they sign up. When you get there, ask questions to your instructor, be open with the direction, bounce some ideas off that person before you start, and then when you get into the lesson, just stay open and absorb.
Excellent.
And have fun when you're doing it.
And have fun when you're doing it. Eddie Lee, I love talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. We have a $50 gift certificate, Mother's Day, for Poipu Bay Golf Course for the winner. and we're going to give that away right after this. But we'll be joined next by the Classic Golf Stories author, Jeff Silverman. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Waipu Bay and Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. Yeah, everybody come in and sit down. We've got, no, I want you to get on the phone, okay? We have a $50 gift certificate. This is Mother's Day, all right, tomorrow. And we want to give, okay? And you don't have to be a mother to win. You can be a father, too, because Father's Day is coming up. You can win and re-gift it, or you can win and get something for yourself. It's the $50 gift certificate at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Give the gift of golf. One lucky winner, 808-296-5467. We're going to pick up those phones as fast as possible. The number, again, is 808-296-5467. And if you win this, you can continue to win as many prizes as you want. No restrictions, okay? 808-296-5467. All right, we're going to bring in from the Classic Golf Stories. Now, this is interesting, 26 Incredible Tales from the Links. And I found myself drawn in. The author is Jeff Silverman. Let's get him into the clubhouse. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, how are you? It's actually afternoon where I live. I've already played 18.
You've already played 18 holes?
Everybody... I've already played 18 in Philadelphia.
Okay, get out the door. You could play at McKenna at 9:36 at the Raw Hawaii. Yeah, okay, at Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 11:40. Ko'olina has a 10:32. Kapolei, 12:08. Why are you sitting around? Get out the door. Jeff Silverman has already played 18 holes. I thoroughly enjoyed. You wrote the introduction to this.
I wrote the introduction. I selected the stories, but before we go on to the book, I was fascinated by Eddie Lee's comment about kids not recognizing Tiger's swing. I got to tell you, I don't recognize Tiger's swing anymore. You don't recognize Tiger's swing anymore. And watching Tiger play so far today at the Players, he doesn't recognize his swing much anymore. But I have to tell you, what we really don't recognize is his putting. You'd be better off watching me putt, because I miss the 3-foot putters really easily, the 3-foot putts really easily, and I expect to. So my body language and everything is much more apropos to who the rest of us really are than watching Tiger miss a couple of these short putts for bogeys.
It's hard, isn't it? No, it's hard watching.
It's painful.
It's almost I'd rather turn the, you know, change, excuse me, I'd rather change the station than watch him when he's in that mode. When he's playing well, it's captivating. When he's not, it's painful.
And I would bet watching golf for all these years, we will see the great round here and there from Tiger because he's got it in him. But we won't see nowhere near the dominance. And I would actually, I'm one of the guys that would be absolutely shocked if he ever wins a major again. Saying that, of course, he's a lock for the Open in a couple of weeks. But I don't think he's got his head where it was. And you know, the truth, basically, I once asked Brad Faxon, who's a friend of mine, after we played, and I'm going to mention a golf course here. Some people drop names. I'll just drop the golf course.
Sure.
We played Pine Valley.
Mm.
And I said to Brad, now, you just played around with me. You've seen my game. I have a proposition to make to you. And he said, what? He says, I suggest that my game is physically closer to Tiger's in ability than, again, this is about 4 years ago, than Phil's mental approach to the game is to Tiger's. And he said, you're absolutely right, because at this level, we all can do the same thing. Everybody can pull the magic trick. It's that steel trap of a mind that a golfer has, that a great golfer has, that separates him from the rest. You know, Bobby Jones talked about the 9-inch golf course between the ears.
Right.
He was a great writer, by the way, about the game. And I don't think Tiger's got that anymore. And what I love, which will be my segue to the stories here, what I love here is how it's mostly wonderful writers writing about a game they themselves can't master, whether it's though, of course, James Taylor is in here, not the singer, but the old J.H. Taylor, who was a great golfer back in the late 19th century. But that's what keeps us coming back for more, you know. And these guys have so captured the spirit and whimsy of the game that which is why we keep playing it.
Now, I've got to go back to your Open, okay? I understand why you want to go directly into the stories, but see, nine years ago, I was talking on the show. I've been doing it for 14 years. So I was, you know, surmising this thing is, how did this game start? You know, I imagine some sheep herder in the middle of a pasture, you know, a quasi-pasture. It's not really. It's just wide open space in England, in Scotland. And they're walking along, and they've got a stick because they all carry a stick, and you want to beat off some creature that's come to attack your sheep. You've got a stick. A walking stick, and then there's a pebble there, and it's a long walk, and you've got to hit it. Do you know how surprised I was as I'm reading your Open to read you describe what I was thinking was the beginning of golf?
That's essentially it, and I'll tell you an even funnier little connection to that, which is we all know Marion Golf Club, home of next year's U.S. Open, 2013 Open. I'm currently doing their club history for them, you know, nobody knows how the baskets came about. As I know you know, but maybe not all your listeners do, Marion doesn't have flag sticks with flags. They have a pole with a basket on top, the idea being that from the fairway, you can't see the wind blow. You just take your best shot. The assumption, some people assume that the origin of that way, way, way back was, again, some shepherd out in the field, you know, kind of banging their little stick around, a pebble around with a stick towards the shepherd's crook, which was left out there to be the hole. And on the top of the shepherd's crook, he hung the basket with his lunch in it, because heaven knows what rabbit or other critter is going to kind of run across the land and grab it if you leave it on the ground. So, I mean, is it true? We don't know.
No.
But it's a good story.
It's a good story. And trying to get the ball into the rabbit hole, you know, and then say, I see what I did, and the other guy going, yeah, I can do that too. No, you can't. You know, it's perfect. So reading the introduction was beautiful. Then you talk about how that, you know, going out to play a round of golf, it's like going to find stories unfold in the process.
Yeah.
A round of golf is a plot in a nutshell with a Sirlin cover. It was just perfect, okay?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was one of these lucky people that grew up on a golf course not playing the game at all. There was a wonderful country club in our backyard and a chain link fence that separated my backyard from the 10th hole. And my father didn't play golf, my mother didn't play golf, so we weren't members of the country club. But I would watch fascinated. From the time I was about 8 or 9 years old, I would watch my friend's parents and my parents' friends walk by the 10th fairway, throwing clubs, breaking clubs, cursing, screaming, and I would say, what is this fabulous endeavor that causes people to act like such idiots? And I would sit there. I mean, I'm telling you, Danielle, maybe like 8, 9 years old, I would sit there in a chair, a gallery of one. You know, I was my own grandstand watching Mr. Lipson next door come by, just waiting for him to explode. It was like my absolute favorite childhood thing. And in between, of course, you know, we had a nice brick wall, so I being the pitcher I wanted to be, I'd throw some tennis balls against the wall in between guys coming up and down. Eventually, I cut a hole in the fence, got out there, started playing, and when I was 15, I got caught, and they told me I was going to either go to a reform school or I could be a caddy. And I was a smart enough kid to know I wasn't going to reform school. Why would I want to be a caddy? And when they told me I could play the course free, make some money, and get some lessons on Monday, I said, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that started the romance.
Awesome. Just let me take care of this business quick. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. Rocket Balls, 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. Yes, you can win Rocket Balls. Just give us a call. Now, this book, what makes a golf story classic to get into your book?
Well, I think the idea is that whether a story is new, whether it's old, and I was dealing with old stories written 19th century, early 20th century for this collection, what are the stories that when we read them, we still recognize who we are in them? The language might be different. Some of the plotting might be a little slower than our movie and TV minds like to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we look at the people in the stories, or if it's nonfiction, we listen to what the essayist is trying to tell us, and we say, that's us. I see myself there. And you know, when you look at the list of writers who I chose from, now you're not going to know a lot of these writers anymore because they've kind of faded with time. But, you know, Gerald Batchelor was a hugely popular writer in the early 20th century. Of course, A.A. Milne is A.A. Milne, better known for Pooh Corner than Amen Corner.
Right.
But he was an absolute absolute devoted and horrible golfer, as was P.G. Woodhouse, you know, who I think never broke 95 in his life, but loved the game passionately. And what they saw in the people who played, because golf as a game first tests character, then reveals it. They saw a perfect canvas on which to explore the human condition. Now, on another level, Bernard Darwin, who was absolutely maybe my favorite writer of all time, he was the grandson of Charles Darwin, who was, of course, The Origin of Species and probably the greatest observer of human nature that ever was. Now, his grandson, his mother died in childbirth. He was actually raised for the first 6 years of his life by the great man Charles and Charles's wife. And every day, this little boy would go taking a walk with his grandfather out in the path behind the house, which was acres and acres and acres. Which is, of course, the best training anybody could ever have for being a writer. Though, of course, he became a lawyer first. On his mother's side, and of course, as I said, she had died. His two uncles were passionate golfers. And they built a very early golf course in Wales called Aberdovey in the 1880s that young Charles helped build. So, cut to the early 20th century, he's a miserable lawyer, wants to write about golf because he's a fabulous player and wants to be a writer, gets a job as a golf writer. And, of course, he is the quote-unquote origin of species of what the rest of us do, essentially. He's the first guy to actually earn a living writing about golf. But what he saw in those days, if you read something like his essay that I have here on New Year's resolutions, it's exactly who we are. We look at ourselves and we say to ourselves, we just can't get better. Why am I going to put up with this game for another year? It takes up so much time. It makes me miserable. But then you look around the room and there's some guy older than you and not as good a player as you, and you know you can beat him, and it gets you back into thinking, God, I can play. I love this game. And get you back to thinking about practicing, get you back to thinking about what you need to work on. And though it's not a short story as per se as in fiction, it taps into who we are. In his piece in here about Aberdovey, it taps into this course he loves more than anything in his life. And you know, my wish for every golfer is that you, we can all find a course that we can be as devoted and embarrassingly in love with as he was with this plot of land. It's wonderful stuff.
Yes, it is. He's also a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame.
He is a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He was captain of the RNA. He was captain of Royal St. George's. He was captain of Royal Worlington, which is the old course, which is the course that Cambridge uses for its matches. And Darwin was the first captain of the Cambridge golf team. So he was a well-traveled man, and a great story about him. He was in his late 40s. In 1922, I guess it was, and he was sent over by the Times of London, where he was the golf writer, to cover the first Walker Cup matches. And the captain of the British team got violently sick with food poisoning on the eve of the matches. So they asked Darwin to step in to take his place. He won his singles match. I wish I could tell you that he beat Bobby Jones, but he didn't beat Bobby Jones.
Wow, that's amazing. This also, when I was going through the authors of the collection of stories that you have here, F. Scott Fitzgerald, you know, the great Gatsby, Tender as the Night, and here you have one of his stories about golf. I had no idea he was a golfer.
Yes, which preceded those. It's really, what it really is a story about a caddy, a kid who's a caddy, who, of course, has dreams about being far more than that, which is the title, Winter Dreams. And he finally gets, ultimately what he hopes for to some degree in life, but not the girl that he's dreamed of his whole life. And, you know, but again, where does a young kid of non-means get to cross paths with the upper class that young Fitzgerald, the Irish kid, wanted to be part of? We're
golf
better than
course.
On a golf course as
yeah.
a caddy.
Yes, yes.
You know, and this is also, of course, a wonderful little study of class differences and yearnings to cross class lines. And a golf course, how many great stories do we know of caddies who've gone on to great things? You know, Francis Ouimet started as a caddy, and the kid Eddie Lowry, who caddied for him at the U.S. Open in 1913, of course, became a multi-zillionaire in California. You know, we hear these stories all the time, and golf is a perfect crucible from which to explore this stuff, because everything we need to see happens on a golf course.
Interesting. Jeff Silverman is the author. Classic Golf Stories is the book. I recommend it. It's a wonderful collection of short stories. You don't have to read it all at one time, and that's always nice in our quick-paced life. You can pick it up, go through one, and enjoy it, and then have something to look forward to. You are this isn't the only book. You also have other collections of golf stories and other works. Can you tell
yes,
us?
Yes, I've done several collections of golf stories. One called The Greatest Golf Stories Ever Told, which is most of them are far more modern than these. I did a similar book on baseball stuff. I mean, I was a sports writer in my youth.
In your youth? You're so young.
And thank you so much. My book that I'm really proud of the first time I got asked to write a story about golf was in the early 90s, and I'd never written about golf. And so I asked everybody I knew, who's the best guy to steal from? And everybody told me Herbert Warren Wind, of course, the great writer from The New Yorker. And I got a collection of Wind stuff, and I found a piece in there about Bernard Darwin, which began by basically saying that there's a little disagreement that the best golf writer that ever lived was Bernard Darwin. And so here you are, where the person you're hearing is the best is telling you there's somebody better. So you better pay attention if
wow.
this is something you're serious about. So I read this piece, and I was fascinated, and I started trying to find his stuff, which back in 1991, 1992, wasn't easy. There was no internet. You couldn't just go on Amazon and you know, press a button and find one of his books.
Yeah.
You know? So I would find one here, one there. You know, I started to collect them, started to read them, fell in love with his book, Golf Courses of the British Isles, and wound up with a pretty decent collection of his stuff. And when my publishers, after my baseball book actually did extremely well, and after 9 years or 10 years, it's still doing extremely well. It's in like 15th printing.
Wow.
Which makes me very happy.
Yes.
I said I want to do a collection of Darwin's essays, and I did this collection called Bernard Darwin on Golf, which the following year, a panel, Travel and Leisure Golf, put together a panel of experts, which included John Updike, Michael Bamberger, Brad Faxon, who I mentioned before, who I didn't know then, and several other, Ben Crenshaw was on it, and they picked the 25 best golf books ever written. And I have to tell you, Bernard Darwin on Golf was number one. Now, I have to tell you, if my dog sat in a room and there were 75 Darwin stories sitting around in a pile, and he went and I said, pick one. And he picked it and brought it over. And I said, pick another one. And he picked it and brought it over. And until I had enough to collect, to put together a book, that would have won as well.
That's good.
He is so good.
Yes.
That basically all you want to do is get out of the way. And all I try to do is put it together, give people some context of who the man was, and let them read and enjoy. In the process, I discovered 6 or 7 pieces that hadn't been seen ever because they were published in American publications in the 50s, and nobody had really seen them and since their publication, and got them out. And it is absolutely wonderful stuff, and I'm so proud of that book because if you love golf, you need to read Bernard Darwin. He won't take a single stroke off your game, but he will make you a far better golfer.
Wow.
Because he didn't care about – I mean, he knew everybody. He played at the highest levels. He twice made it to the finals of the British Amateur – semifinals of the British Amateur. But he wasn't writing so much about competitions as he was writing about the little quirks and ticks of the golfer. Who is the golfer? You know, he was more interested in writing about these two guys that would play every Sunday, and on Monday the winner would have to come back to work wearing this thin, ugly black tie. I have to wear it all week because he was the loser. He'd write about that. He would write about golfers and crosswords, because crossword puzzles are something you can always get better in life until the day you die, but quite frankly, up until a point, so can you in golf, until you're 70. And he would write about these wonderful aspects of the game. He'd also, you know, wrote brilliantly about people like Walter Hagen and Bobby Jones, who he loved passionately. Wrote brilliantly about golf courses. Wrote with great affection and endearment about his own course, Aberdovey, which he helped build, as I said, as a little boy. He really instills joy. And I would suggest to readers, you know, Classic Golf Story gives you two good introductions to Darwin's work. But then, if you're like me and you can't get enough, Bernard Darwin on Golf is absolutely the next place to go. I was fortunate enough years ago to have a long conversation about the game with John Updike. After him finally admitting to me that had it not been for his need to make his weekly tee times, even if he was writing well, he probably would have won the Nobel Prize. We quickly moved on to just talking and talking about Bernard Darwin, who he loved.
Wow.
It was a wonderful privilege for me to come up with this because basically nobody else had. I mean, I just got into the right place at the right time with Darwin, and there have been some collections since, but you can't go wrong reading him, and you can't go wrong reading about the game if A.A. Milne is writing about it. Arnold Haltane, I'd like to just give you one little line here. Arnold Haltane, who no one's ever heard of,
he's
a wonderful Canadian writer of the early 20th century. Tell me if this isn't golf in a nutshell. We've used that phrase a couple of times. Golf is like faith. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And until it is personally experienced, does the unbelieving change from the imprecatory to the precatory attitude. Imprecatory is a weird word meaning a maledictory attitude to an appreciative attitude. we who play the game understand it. It's our fraternity. The beauty is that the people outside don't. They look at us like we're just hitting a ball with a stick. They have no idea. The personal hells we're going through out there.
Let me just say, though, you said you went to the best golf writers to see if you could steal from them, okay?
Uh-huh.
Did it work? Did you become a great golf writer in the process of reading a great golf?
The only way you become a good any. I teach writing at Villanova University here in Pennsylvania, and you know, reading is the only way you get good, and reading the best is the only way you get better. I do write a good bit about golf, and I'd like to think I'm a decent writer on the game.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you sit down and you read Herbert Warren Wins, you read Dan Jenkins, you read John Updike.
Right.
These rhythms, you know, kind of dance through your head, and you're only going to get better.
Okay, my point is this. Dan Jenkins, when he was 10, would sit at the kitchen table, his typewriter, and he would copy the newspaper sports articles that he had seen, right? And he would type, right?
That's what I used to do.
Okay, he would type them up, right? And then he would edit them, right? So you start by absorbing everything that you can around you. I mean, this is a great lesson for children, for adults.
Absolutely. It's
right?
What I teach my kids, what I teach my students. I mean, absolutely. Read. Get it going through your mind into your fingers. You don't know how it happens, but it somehow does. I'll tell you a funny story about Dan. His daughter, Sally, years and years and years ago, which will date my age, I was a columnist at the Herald Examiner in Los Angeles in the early 1980s. And Sally came aboard as my intern that summer. This was 1981, and in the late 90s, I actually it would have been the late 80s. I met Dan for the first time, totally irrespective of golf. It was at a wedding, but we'd had several conversations ever since. And he would always say, now, my daughter was your intern, wasn't she? And I would say, she sure was, Dan, but remember, it was in the pre-Clintonian sense of the word.
Jeff Silverman is a wonderful person. You need to get his book, read his introduction, and enjoy the fact that he has put together this fabulous collection of short stories about golf, classic golf stories. And then just go discover. You are wonderful. We're going to have to talk some more, but I've got to go right now. I've got somebody waiting.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. We've gone over our time limit, sir. But I could talk with you for hours. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay and Hawaii South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose.
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
And welcome welcome back. We've got Stan Hashimoto from Wailuku, Maui, as the winner of our rocket balls. Congratulations, Stan. On the phone with us right now, if you would like to get, you know, into the game of golf, maybe you're listening, you don't play. I know there are people who listen and they don't play. This is called Welcome to Golf Month. Play Golf America. The PGA of America is always doing something to get people into the game. And in this case, it's, I think, 10-minute lessons. And to give us a little bit of an introduction to golf tech here on Oahu, because we've been to Maui already at David Ledbetter Academy. Now on Oahu, we've got golf tech for you. And this is our director of instruction, Jason Diger. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Pleasure talking to you, center manager. And tell me about golf tech.
Well, Golf Tech has been in Honolulu since 2007, so we're going on our fifth year there. Golf Tech is a national company, but we're locally owned and operated. What we do at Golf Tech is primarily indoor golf instruction. We use digital video and motion analysis so that the player can essentially receive good feedback on what's going on in their golf swing. So when you're in one of our teaching bays, we've got a monitor on the floor so you can see yourself from the front view and from the side view. And using that video feedback is a great way to learn the golf swing. It's, you know, golf is typically learned on a driving range, and you don't really know what your swing looks like. So we try and give the player really good feedback on what's going on in their golf swing so they can see it better, understand it. And then the motion analysis is basically quantifies what you're doing with your body. How much are you turning your hips and shoulders? Most players don't really know how well they're using their body in the swing. And from our, you know, thousands and thousands of lessons, most people don't use their body, big muscles, big core rotation very well in the golf swing. So this is a way to get some good fact-based feedback on that also.
Yeah, okay. Now, what's important to know is that, you know, when you're in your backswing, you probably have no idea what's going on back there. you're doing the motion, and for some people that might be just as well. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't want to see it. You know, but I think, Jason, it's good to see what's going on back there, because as you see it, then you can incorporate that into the feeling. Ah, that's what's going on back there. It's a strange thing to say about golf, but a lot of people don't know how their backswing looks because they can't feel. Why is that?
Well, you know, because it's out of view. It's not a typical angle. I mean, you certainly see golf on television all the time, and you know what good swings look like. And for people that haven't used video at all, initially it's like, wow, that's my golf swing. And once you get past that, then you find out it's really a useful tool. As you know, golf is all about trying to find the most efficient and powerful way to hit the golf ball so that you can do it consistently. And so if you can minimize excess motion in the golf swing and get some good feedback to help you do that, it's a great way to learn.
Exactly. What you said is so important. If you can get past seeing what you think may be, that's so junk, I can't even stand looking at myself. It's kind of like me. You know, I don't like listening to myself, a recording of myself. If somebody plays me, I don't want to hear myself, okay? But a lot of people have the same reaction when it comes to seeing their swing. I don't want to see my swing. It's awful. But use that information. It's a tool to get better. So if you don't care about getting better, then you probably wouldn't invest in a lesson anyway. But this is a really good way to find out what's going on in your swing and make adjustments. From there, you take it to the golf course. And that's what I like. You have the opportunity to do playing lessons on three really nice courses, including the Royal Hawaiian and Kapolei and Moanalua, right?
That's correct, yeah. Basically what we're doing in our in-bay center is to give that good video feedback so the player can develop a skill, whatever it is they're working on. And by doing repetition of that using video and motion, you can really help develop the feel for that skill and get a lot of repetition of that correct motion. And then you essentially take that feel out to the golf course. in the bays at Golf Tech, we're really working on what's your body doing? How do we get the body working better in the golf swing? And out on the golf course, what's the ball doing? Let's take the things that we've been doing in the bay and let's put them now into what the ball is doing, its trajectory, curve of the ball, and being able to use Kapolei, the driving range out there is phenomenal. Let me make a quick plug for Kapolei, too, because they have a great Mother's Day buffet going. If you haven't been out to Kapolei, it's a fantastic restaurant, beautiful clubhouse out there. So if you're looking for some place to celebrate Mother's Day, get out to Kapolei, give them a call. They have a great buffet going.
Excellent. Okay. That's great. And we've got 3 minutes, and I'd like you to join us again another time when you're not – you know, maybe when you're not on another show and then have to switch over fast, or maybe we'll take you at a different time so that you can actually tell us more. But in this limited time that we have, you have the Play Golf America Welcome to Golf Month in May, and this is a 10-minute free lesson at Golf Tech.
It is. So if you are getting into the game, I mean, there is not a better way to learn how to swing the golf club than to actually see yourself do it on a video camera. And then, or on a monitor that shows you exactly what's going on, and then we put your swing up next to a tour player, and just in, you know, even 5 minutes, you can replicate the tempo and the efficiency of a player's swing, and even if it's posture or ball position, head position, these things that you can see immediately, you can do it side by side for them, so you can really, emulate what the best players in the world do and how they do it. It's a great tool, and I definitely recommend anybody that's getting into the game to give us a call and get down to Golf Tech.
It's 808-441-0105. That's the number to call. Golf Tech, where are you located?
We are located at Petecoy, 510 Petecoy, on the intersection of Petecoy and Kona Street, very close to Ala Moana Center.
Very close, very convenient. And a 10-minute lesson, you never know, you may want to have more, right? But it's a good way to start. It's a good way to get in the door and find out what it's like. Welcome to Golf Month. Really important. I think there's a study that determined there are some 25 million people who would like to play the game of golf if they just knew a little bit more about it. But they don't, and that's about the same number as of people who actually do play the game. So there are 25 million people playing the game. 25 million would like to if they knew more. And that's what PGA of America is trying to do, get that 25 million to jump on board and find out more about it. And that's why Jason Dygert and his team at Golf Tech is making these 10-minute lessons available to you for free. And the number to call is 808-441-0105. Jason, thanks for being on the show.
Danielle, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we'll talk again. We'll get more in depth about some of the tips that you can provide us with. And maybe I can come down and have one of these 10-minute lessons and see myself and go, thanks for being on.
Consider this an invitation.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. Okay. We're going to have to wrap up the show and congratulate all the winners that we've had this morning. It's been so much fun spending this day before Mother's Day with you. I know we're very busy this weekend because, you know, if you're a mother, you've got – then if your mother is – fortunately, then mother needs Mother's Day, and then there's Grandma. She needs Mother's Day too, right? Everybody does. I want to thank our sponsors, Poi Pu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr., bordered by the Emerald Green Mountains, the 30 acres of tropical plants, and the ancient places of worship. And that's Poi Pu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet metal, hey, whatever you need made out of sheet metal, whether it's a commercial kitchen or simply flashing or downspouts, Alakai Mechanical, they'll design it and they will fabricate it for you. Star protection for property threat, risk assessment, protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, a special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Whenever they're here every year, Star Protection is on the case, on the property, and taking care of all of the stars. Avance Salon, for cut, for color, for extensions, manicures, pedicures, a cal gel, excellent. where you may be conservative or flamboyant, Avancé is the place for you. Check us out at RadioGolfClub.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.